Alan Pease, the relationship expert, very happily ensconced with the lovely Barbara, lovely baby, and you're up bright and early to help us because you are an Oz. Mum's looking after the baby, I take it?
Well, yeah, that's what it's all about. It's been that way for a million years. I don't see why it should change now.
Well, I've got a question for you, and I think this is probably the one question that all women want to know,
yeah.
And that is why men can wash their own golf clothes and football clothes and things, but and their own work clothes, but they don't seem to be able to cope with washing sheets and towels and tea towels. You know, all those other things that they use?
Well, they don't see any point in washing tea towels and sheets and other things. They just, like, you know, you wait until they go hard, then you throw them away and buy new ones.
Well, that's a great idea. Well, I'm feeling a lot better now that I know that. You know, I guess you've written in your book why men want sex and women need love, that many men think that the larger a woman's boobs are, the less intelligent she is, but the reality is that the larger her boobs are, the less intelligent men become.
Well, you know, the funny thing, even though that's humorous, it's actually true. The larger and more impressive a woman's breasts become, the less a man is able to think and make any rational decision about anything.
Well, there's someone in this building, I can't get in the elevator with them, I won't name them, but whenever I get in, they're like direct eye contact with my cleavage and they're going, "Hello, Alison."
Well, you know, they say that the reason men can't make eye contact is breasts don't have eyes.
That's right. So tell me, what is it, ahead of Valentine's Day, what is it that women do that really wind men up?
Well, one of the hardest things for men is women have a way of speaking. We found this to be universal. We went to 33 cultures on these books and found no difference in this. Is that men talk in what's called direct terms. That is, they say short sentences, and in a sense you'll find hard facts, ideas and solutions to problems. If they've got nothing to say, they just sit there and look blankly. So for two guys sitting together, having a drink together, not talking, it's perfectly normal. They're having a great time bonding, saying nothing. Now, for women, direct talk is seen as aggressive. So if I said to you, for example, "Alison, here's what I think, here's what I want you to do, get back to me and see you later," you might say, "Well, that was a bit short and rough." But women don't talk up. They talk in what's called indirect terms. And indirect terms means you don't specifically say what you want or what you mean. You hint, infer, and drop clues, understanding that the listener will get it. Which for women, that's true. For men, it's a big mystery. He has no idea what this is about. Now, I'll give you a typical example. Barbara said to me the other night, she said, "Do you want to go and see," and she named this movie, it's a 3D cartoon movie, "do you want to go and see this movie?" And she knows pretty well after 20 years, "I don't want to see that movie. I'd never want to go and see those movies." What she really meant was, "I want to see that movie and take our son, and I want you to drive us down there." That's what she really meant. Now, if I had said, "No, I don't want to see it," well, then she'd probably say, "Look, he never takes me anywhere." But in fact, I said, "No, but I'll drop you off there when I'm going down there, and I'm going to get out of the supermarket and do some shopping in the tool section." That's what I did. So indirect talk drives men nuts because they can't work it out. It's a bit like you would have been in a situation, as every male listener is, where you've got a new dress on, you hold up two pairs of shoes, a blue pair and a gold pair, and you say to the guy, "Which one should I wear?" Now, the reality is, as you know, you don't want him to pick your shoes, right?
That's exactly right.
You've already chosen them. It's a trap. So he thinks it's a problem-solving question. So he says, "The blue look great. Go blue." What's the next thing she says?
"No, don't be stupid."
"Yeah, what's wrong with the gold?"
"Yeah.
You've got a problem with the gold." And he says, "Look, you know what, my opinion, don't damn well ask me." Now, there's an argument takes place about he thinks he's been knocked back for his decision. In fact, she wanted him, in indirect talk, to say, "Either of those shoes look great. You look perfect, Alison."